Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, let's go to the book of James, chapter 1. Hallelujah. James, chapter 1. What are you going to talk about this morning? Well, maybe I should just preach and let you figure it out, because once I give you the title, it's just one of those subjects that, you know, I want you to control your shouting. I don't want you to shout me down, although in almost 40 years of preaching, that's only happened one time. Most time I have to get you to shout. I was at a church one time and I was like, you guys are going to have to tone it down if I'm going to keep preaching here. That only happened one time. I mean, at this church, I believe I could just get up and say, good morning. Yeah, that's right, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. I was like, all right. That was good stuff. I enjoy that. Don't misunderstand me. But I just know this isn't one of those subjects that, you know, people want to get up and shout on, but it's a Bible subject, and I love all the Bible subjects. We're going to talk about perseverance. Whoa. You actually said amen. But it's a really good Bible force, if you want to say it that way, that you have to get a hold of if you're going to have victory. You have to persevere. I mean, you know, some things in life, you just got to persevere. You just got to just keep sticking with it, right? Yeah. I mean, if you're going to get somewhere, sometimes you got to persevere. Yeah. If you're going to be a surgeon, you got to persevere. I mean, you don't want to go into surgery and you're about halfway out, and the surgeon says, "Yeah, I read about this online last night. I think I can do this." I mean, I don't care how doped you are, you're coming out of there. Right. What about you? I'm jumping off the bed or the whatever it is. Or you don't want to get, on an airplane, find out the pilot, took a crash course and got his license in a week. Yeah, crash course. You're leaving the terminal with a pilot who took a crash course. I mean, you want to know that they've spent some time. They persevered. Right? I mean, they've had to stick through some things. Amen. Amen. And so, anything you want to do, a lot of times people, young Ian, I was just saying, when I was young in the ministry, just thought, that, man, everything was just going to flow and be hunky-dory and wonderful and awesome, and everybody was going to love you. I learned real fast that that's not the way this works, that you got to persevere. Hallelujah. You got to stick with it. You got to be faithful through the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because you're going to face all three. Amen. But we got victory. Amen. Amen. Now let's go. James chapter 1. I may not preach long this morning, but we're going to pray for you this morning. The Lord said pray. So we're going to pray for you that you will step into this force of perseverance in your life. Maybe you're already there. But maybe you're not. Maybe you can't stick with anything. I couldn't stick with anything until I met Jesus Christ. If it got tough, I was like, I don't need this. Mm-hmm. Come on. And so, but Jesus Christ put something in me. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. You know, just the fact that I've been your pastor. Now, this is not a reflection on you, just so hear me out. But just the fact I've been your pastor for 25 years means I'm not a quitter. Right?
That's right.
Most pastors don't last that long in a church. And so, you got to stick with it. You guys got to stay with it. Has it always been fun, always been good? Well, no. I've had some not so fun times. I've had some attacks. I've had some mostly sweet people. Mostly. Everybody here, sweet. Amen. Some of you are shaking your head. No, I'm not. Well, just be sweet to me. That's all I ask. No, I've had, you know what I'm saying. I mean, I've had all kinds of things and, you know, just different attacks and things and difficulties and financial issues where we had difficulties and people issues and issues with the city, issues with officials in the city, you know, different things that I've had to work through and deal with and the devil. But you just keep persevering.
That's right.
Because victory is on the other side.
Amen.
Because it already belongs to you. Amen?
Right.
It's already yours.
Right.
You just got to enforce it.
Yep.
You know, I like to look at us, the church, as an occupying army.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the battle's already been won. We're just here to make sure that the devil stays on his place.
Yep. Come on.
Amen.
Right? You know, when we left, World War II, when we won the victory, we still left troops in places around the world that they were occupying armies. They were there in case the enemy tried to rise back up. He's defeated. He's already been defeated. But that doesn't mean that he's totally quit being rebellious. And so that's the way we are as the church, you know. I mean, the devil's defeated in our life, but we have to just be an occupying army and make sure that he stays in his place. And we have to put him in his place. Isn't that right? So you have to persevere. You can't just run at the first little devil or the first little boo or the first little problem. The first little setback. Because there's going to be setbacks. This is not unbelief. It's just experience talking to you. It's the Bible telling you. See, Paul said we're just keep our focus, you know, on things that are eternal, not temporary. Amen. So we have to just stick with it. You know, Jesus said, knock. And it'll be open unto you. Seek and you'll find. Ask and you'll receive, right? The Amplified Bible says, knock, keep on knocking. Seek, keep on seeking. Ask, keep on asking. And you're going to receive. What he's just saying, just don't be a quitter. Persevere. Stick with it. Amen. If it belongs to you, don't quit. Stay with it till you get it. Amen. Now, James said this. Go there. James chapter 1. Let me just... we'll read some scripture this morning, maybe. At least read this for sure, maybe some more. But James chapter 1, you got it? Verse 2, James, now this is Jesus' brother, half-brother. So he lived with Jesus, so he had pretty much had a heads up on some things. He watched his brother grow up, amen. James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers, or that's the King James, various temptations, testings, and trials. Count it all joy. Most people don't do that. Right? They lose their joy, man, the first sign of trouble. But we're to hang on to our joy.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Why? Because, man, you know, it's like my pastor, Dr. Barclay, says to ministers. I've got one of his little plaques in my office. You may have seen it. It says, the worst day in the ministry is better than the best day serving the world. He just reminded us preachers that the worst day you have in the ministry, that's better than being out serving the world.
Right.
You got to keep it in perspective that, man, if God's on our side, who's going to beat us?
That's right.
Amen. Glory to God, you know. You know, if God's for you, man, who can be against you?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And so thank God he's on our side.
Yeah.
He's not on the devil's side. He's not on the world's side. He loves the world. But the Bible says, if he gave his son when we were sinners, how much more will he do for us now that we're children of God? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's the reason why we can have joy, because we know some things.
Right.
We know we're going to win.
Right.
You know, I don't know if he still does it or not, but Pastor Chuck, would get so nervous about the Colts playing that he would go watch and find out who won before he watched the game.
Yeah.
Is that right? Am I telling this right? Yeah. Because he'd go to the end of the game, see who won, then he'd watch the game.
Yeah, enjoy
and enjoy it, see? Now, you know what? Listen, man, I've seen the Colts before years ago get down like 24 points in one game. Now, I'm sitting there thinking it's over with. He's sitting at home thinking, they're coming back. We got it. Remember that game? I think it was a playoff game. They were down by 24 points. It always looked like it was over with to me, you know. And I'm sitting there like, oh, man, I mean, you're not even nervous. You've given up. But yet he's sitting there and he knows, yeah, we got the victory.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's watched the end of the game.
Yeah.
Well, we've read the book.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we already know, right?
Yeah.
We already know we have the victory.
Amen.
So we just know this is temporary.
Yes.
This isn't a permanent thing. This is a temporary setback.
Amen.
Remember what the Bible said about Jesus when he went to the cross? It says, "Who for the joy set before him."
Amen.
In other words, he already had a vision. He didn't want to go to the cross in his flesh. He wanted to obey the Father, but remember he said, not my will, but yours be done. If there's another way, let's do it another way. Because his flesh was recoiling at that. And probably his own spirit taking on the sin of the world. And so he recoiled that, but he did it. But the Bible said he saw the joy set before him. In other words, he knew victory's on the other side of this. Hallelujah. And so sometimes we face some things, but we can count it all joy when we know something. See, if you don't know that or you're not convinced of it, then you can't have joy. You might think it's over with. You're defeated, but it's not over with.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah. You just keep on fighting because you already know you've won. See, you go into it knowing you got it. Now, you know, when I was a kid, I used to watch championship wrestling. Now, I don't watch that stuff any longer. But you know what? Here's what I found out. You know, I didn't know this as a kid. When I was a kid, we'd watch that. There was a guy named Dick the Bruiser. Anybody remember him? Now, when you look at him, you thought, now, at one time, he has been in a fight because he's got scars on his forehead. So somebody got him sometime for something. But those guys would just go at it, you know. But here was the thing, you know. That's, and I hope, don't write me any ugly letters. Don't leave the church over this. Let's just be friends and agree to disagree. But it's fake. See, there's most of you can't say amen. Half of you are mad right now. But it's fake. It's already pre-planned. They already go in knowing who's supposed to win, see.
Right.
Now, see, when you go in knowing something, you can go in with joy. And when you go in knowing that God's going to give you the victory, if you'll just, if, now listen, there is an if to that. If you just keep your faith applied, you're going to win. See, that's what he's talking about. He said, account it all joy when. Now, notice it didn't say if. It said when. So this is going to happen when you fall into various trials. Knowing this, so you got to know something, that the trying of your faith works patience or puts endurance to work. But let endurance or patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Now, see, the reason we can shout, because here's what James is saying. He's saying the way to face trials is with faith and patience, endurance. Just stay with it.
Amen.
You're going to come out if you just stay with it. I know this isn't real deep this morning, but listen, you need exhortation. We all need exhortation to know, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't quit. Just stay with it. Well, yeah, but nothing's moving right now. Well, that's what endurance is for. Remember the Bible. In Hebrews, it says the race that we run, we're to run it with endurance. And what's that tell us? See, you don't run a 100-yard dash with endurance. If you're a track coach, you don't tell the guys getting ready to run the 100-yard dash. You don't say, now pace yourself. You don't pace yourself. You just go flat out, don't you? Now, if you're getting ready to run a marathon, then you have to pace yourself. You have to have endurance. Because if you don't, you'll run out of gas. So that's what happens with people's faith. They don't have any endurance. They run out of gas in their faith. And they give up. And that's why I thought the word worked. Well, it does work, but you got to stick with it.
Right.
See, I've told you this story before, but I just still remember this. That one time me and two of our granddaughters were running a race. We were running together. And I remember we took off and we weren't running flat out. We weren't running fast. We were kind of pacing ourselves and people were passing us. And then I heard a guy come up behind us and it sounded like he's about to die. He was, I'm serious. I'm not making this up. And then he passed us. And then the granddaughters looked at me like, they're like, everybody's passing us. I said, just hold on. I said, we'll pass them back. Because these were, you could just tell by the way they're acting, these are newbies, they don't know what they're doing, and they're just running flat out, and they're not going to make it very far. And sure enough, as time went on, we went around that one, I saw one time laying in the ditch. I definitely passed them. Well, what happened with these people? Well, see, they didn't have something called endurance. They didn't. They really didn't realize how wrong this race really is. Amen. I mean, why do you think when you go to a half marathon or marathon, you see a medical tent set up? There's people in there. Those are the people that didn't have endurance. Those are people that didn't know how to run the race. They ran it too fast and they didn't make it. I've seen them haul them back on carts. Absolutely. You know, and so forth. Well, what's happening here? Well, see, that's what Paul said this Christian walk is. He said it's not a 100-yard dash. He said run it with endurance. In other words, you just stick with it. In other words, things aren't necessarily going to, when you're standing on God's word and you're believing God, things aren't necessarily going to change overnight. They might, but not necessarily. And so you just got to just stick with it and stay with it. And don't quit. Hallelujah. You know, they talk about, you know, Abraham Lincoln. You know, he was a pretty good president, right? I guess, I don't know, I wasn't around then. Well, Kenny was. Ask him. I couldn't help. I had to get him again. He voted for him. Amen. Well, you know, how many times did he run for president? I mean, he ran for this office. I read that one time. I was reading that. Pastor Chuck might know. He's a history buff. But it was several times. I mean, he ran for like Senate or Congress several times. He didn't get elected. He just kept doing it, kept doing it, kept doing it, kept doing it. Well, he had to stick with it. See, you got to watch this. See, the devil tried to get you to quit because things don't change overnight. Well, they don't always change overnight. We're not saying they're not going to change overnight, but we just got to be aware they may not change overnight, so you just got to stay with it. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us, we're close, let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Let me talk to you a little bit about what patience is, just a little bit, so that, you know, we have it. The Bible definition, not the world's definition, but what the Bible says about it. Hebrews chapter 6, go there, please. And I want to just read one verse out of Hebrews 6. Verse 12 says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So it takes more than just faith, doesn't it? It takes faith and perseverance, patience, endurance. You just got to stick with it. So here's what we know. If faith and patience inherits the promises, impatience, come on, impatience goes with unbelief. See, just the opposite, right? If faith and patience go together, then impatience and unbelief go together. So if you're impatient, you're in unbelief. Some of y'all are you were in unbelief on the drive here. You're impatient with people. Well, you know, there's something here we need to get, see? See, what is patience? Let's just talk about this. Well, see, Bible patience is continuing to believe. It's keeping your faith out there working. One guy, years ago, I heard one minister preach on this many years ago. I was just freshly saved. He called them power twins. In other words, they go together. See, if you don't have patience or endurance or perseverance, then your faith will quit. But if you don't have faith, all you're doing is putting up with something. See, it's a huge difference. See, patience, listen, patience. See, well, let me say this. One of the biggest mistakes believers make is they stop believing before they have it. See, Mark 11:24, Jesus said, "What things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them." Now, shall could mean a period of time. See, everybody be a whiz in faith if you prayed for something, believed for something that the Bible promised you, and then you open your door and there it is. I mean, just think about how that would work, you know. See, God reserves these things for the faithful. The faithful shall abound with blessings. Those that just stick with it. Right? I mean, listen, you know, listen, if I needed a new vehicle, let's say I need a new vehicle, and I prayed, the Lord, you know, how many of God would supply you a vehicle if you needed one? Wouldn't that be a need? So you can pray, and Lord, I just believe in you for a new vehicle, you know, and I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And you look out in the driveway, and there it sits. Well, my gosh, your neighbor would be at church with you next Sunday. But they're not coming for the right reasons. They're coming because of the blessings. Remember what Jesus told people today? He said, you know, you're coming because of the food. I found out they still come to church for that. All we got to do is have a picnic. We'll see people who haven't been to church in months, man.
That's right.
And you want to say, are you here for the food? Let's just preach to them while they're here. We won't get them till the next food. Amen.
Amen.
It's amazing how many relatives you have when you have food. Like, man, I haven't seen you in 10 years. Well, I like brisket, you know. So see, the Bible says, Hebrews, it says we have need of patience, that after we've done the will of God, we might receive the promise. See. Now, listen to this. I have these things written down in my notes. Listen to this. Patience is not a passive acceptance of circumstances. In other words, patience doesn't, well, you know, I mean, I'm just living with this. You know, God put this on. See, that's the way a lot of the church thinks, that if they have difficulty, they have trials, that God brought it to teach them something, and you're just to have patience and to put up with it. And that's what that verse means. No, that's not what Bible patience or endurance is. It means you're putting your faith out there to move the thing. See, he said the trying of your faith. What does that mean? It means you must have faith. See, that dawned on me one day as a revelation to me. Like, if the devil's messing with my faith, that must mean he thinks if he doesn't leave me alone, I'm going to succeed here. So he's trying to discourage me and stop me. See, the trying your faith. What's that mean? This is your faith, and there's something in the way. And you gotta keep punching at it. Bam, till you knock it out of the way. Amen. I was watching a boxing match years ago, and there was a guy fighting by the name of Evander Holyfield. He was a good fighter. And he was fighting a guy by the name of Riddick Bowe, who looked like Goliath. I mean, he was a big guy. And I watched I think it was the 10th round, I watched Holyfield just get knocked all over the place. I mean, he's just staggering like this. He's up against the ropes. I'm hearing one of the guys that was calling the fight was George Foreman. And I'm hearing George Foreman yell at the referee, "Stop the fight! Stop the fight! Stop the fight!" And I mean, he's just going from pillar to post. But he wouldn't quit. They always said he had the heart of a lion, you know. He wouldn't quit. And the next thing I know, I mean, he starts swinging back. And one of those connects. And the next thing you know, Riddick Bowe staggering all over the ring like this. Like, I thought, you talk about perseverance. Most people just laid down. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I'm going to fall down here before I get killed. Well, you know, sometimes when come on, are you with me now? See, sometimes fighting the devil is like that. Maybe he gets some licks in, but you don't quit. You just keep coming. See, we have victory over him. We have authority over him. But sometimes he gets some licks in and we get hit. We don't see something coming and eclipses. And so we just got to keep swinging. Man, I've seen people before, you know, I've seen people before, even in this church, that they had some things come on them. And I'm thinking most people would have quit. But they just keep swinging. They keep swinging. And they're here today. They're alive today. So there's been some people in this church, you'd been dead if you'd have taken that attitude. Well, you know, I guess it must be the will of God. You know, nothing's moving. I'm just going to quit. You'd been dead, but you didn't. You just kept fighting. Amen. Now, see, this may not be an exciting message, but this will save your bacon because this is where it's at, man. Life is hard sometimes. And you got to just keep fighting. You got to keep swinging. You got to keep speaking the word. You got to keep staying in faith and fighting. So patience is not passive, a passive acceptance of circumstances. It doesn't mean, well, I just accept this. God must have brought this on me to teach me something. You know, God teaches us by the word.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I hope you, I don't mean so be so intense today, but man, I just feel this strong in me this morning. That we got to get a hold of this. That, you know, this isn't the will of God for us to be beat from pillar to post and just lay down and take it. Fight back every day. Well, Pastor, I prayed about it like, and you know, I spoke the word a couple times. And, well, good, that's a start, but you got to keep going. You don't get, if you're trying to work out, you know, when I was younger, man, especially when I was a teenager and all, and early 20s, I work out all the time. Worked out, and I had some muscles then. I still got them. They're taking a nap. You used to stand up. And I can't get them to do tricks anymore. Stand up, boy. You know, it's all shut up. But, you know, you have to work at it, right? Amen. See, perseverance means you stick with it. You can't be like, you know, I was at a church months ago, and Phyllis and I, and I walked out of the sanctuary. It was before church started. Church was getting ready to start, but I walked out of the sanctuary and I stepped into the vestibule, the lobby area, and I ran into a minister friend of mine I had not seen in years. I mean, it had been years, probably 7, 8, 10 years since I'd seen him. And we kind of just almost bumped into one another. And we just took off right where we left off, you know, like we'd been with one another all this time. We just, man, it was just great renewing acquaintance. He looked at me. He said, man, you look good. I said, well, I've been losing weight for 35 years. Now, I mean, that's not true perseverance. That's like hit and miss, right? See, if I'd been serious for 35 years, then I would have lost that 25 pounds. Well, I have lost that 25 pounds, but it found me. Amen. But see, that's not sticking with it. That's not perseverance. Perseverance means you have to do it every day. See, that's the one reason why weight loss is so hard to do. It's easy to do if you just got to make one decision. I've made that decision many times. Many times. How many days? What's the date? What's the date of today? 17th. I've already made it at least 17 times this year. 16. I haven't made it yet today. 16 times. But see, that's not serious stuff. You know, I always say, well, tomorrow. I'll do better tomorrow. And occasionally, one of those tomorrows, I do better. Well, that's not sticking with it. That's not endurance. Endurance means that when I go out to eat the day after service, I have to be disciplined. Amen. It's that way with life. It's that way with the things of the Spirit. You have to be disciplined. Amen? Amen. So, Patience is not passively accepting circumstances. It's courageously persevering in the face of difficulty. It's not just passing time. It's keeping your faith applied to the problem. Listen to this. We just read this. Through faith and patience inherit promises. Patience or perseverance is the key to every blessing. How can we persevere? Listen to this. I wrote these things down. I want to give them to you. Number one, we have to decide God's word is true and is final authority on every subject. See, once you make up your mind that if the Bible says, by His stripes I'm healed, or whatever it says, when you make up your mind, that's what it says. It's final authority, and that's just the way it is. It doesn't matter how long you have to fight. You know it's true. It may take you a while to get there. It may take you a while to get the promise manifested in your life, but you stick with it because you know that's true. That's final authority. I'm not having anything less than what the Word promises me. Amen? Number two, you have to decide to act only in faith. See, sometimes if we don't watch it, we say we believe something and we act like we don't believe it. What are we going to do if this doesn't come to pass? Well, see, you're already not acting like you believe it, see. So you're defeated already. The devil take advantage of that. He's a legalist. Number three, you got to decide to speak only in faith. What does that mean? Well, I don't talk contrary to what I'm believing the outcome to be. Amen. I say what the word says about my outcome. Amen. Now go to James chapter 5. Come on, you getting anything today?
Yes.
James chapter 5. I think are we in James or we in Hebrews? Let's go to James. Back up just a few pages to James chapter 5. Go there. I want to read this scripture to you because, woo, hallelujah.
Yeah.
James chapter 5. Go with me to verse 11. It says, behold, we count them happy which endure, those who persevere. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful or compassionate and of tender mercies. But I want you to see this now. It talks about Job's endurance, how he stuck with it. But it says you've seen, the King James says you've seen the end of the Lord, or what it's saying is that the end that the Lord had in mind for Job. How many remember Job? How many know Job went through some things, right? I mean, he lost his house, his children, his health, his finances. Now let's get this right. God didn't do it. There's people say, they'll take the scripture where Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord taketh away. But Job said that, not God. I've heard preachers preach that at funerals. You know, like you got a dead child in there. Well, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. The Lord didn't kill that child. He didn't do that. Well, that's what the Bible said. It's in the Bible. The Bible told us truly what Job said. But have you know, the Bible sometimes tells us things that people said, not things that the Spirit of God said. Like the Pharisees said, Jesus cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Well, that doesn't make the statement true. It's true. The Bible truly states what was said, but it's not a statement of truth. You understand? All the Word of God's inspired. It's all told truly. But sometimes the Word tells us what people said, and what people said is not the same thing as what God said. You have to discern that. Does the Lord give and the Lord take away? Well, not in that sense, no. He's not killing people. Well, if you mess with the church and he judged you, you might get taken out like Herod. But that's not God's people, and that's not just normal people out there living life. That's people that are coming against the work of God. They get in trouble. Come on now. So that's in the Bible, right? I mean, you know, Herod was, you know, he got messing with the church and he got ate up with worms. The angel of the Lord smote him. But God's just not going out and doing that because people are in sin and stuff. But, you know, if he did, we'd all be dead. He did that because Herod was messing with the work of God and the people of God in the church and attacking them, see. Right? You know, see, some of these politicians in America shooting their mouth off about what they're going to do to the church. I believe I'd shut my mouth if I was you. You want to live long enough to finish your term. That sounds like a threat. I didn't threaten them. I just tell you, God's the judge. You never know. I mean, he might have enough of you and say, well, I had enough of you. But God's not a bad God. He's a good God. He's not out doing bad things to people, even sinners out there. He's not out there doing things to them. He wants them to repent. But, you know, some folks go too far, and he's had enough with him. He'll take care of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, but the Bible tells us Satan smote Job. Now, the Bible says you saw the endurance. Job just stuck with it. He stuck with God, right? Now, you understand, Job doesn't know everything that we know. He's not a New Testament character. He doesn't know everything. So he thinks it's God. He's not accusing God falsely, unjustly. He just thinks it is. We got revelation that we know it's not, right? See, Job said, though he slay me, yet I'll serve him. Well, God wasn't going to slay Job. He was out to bless him. He's the one to put the hedge around him. But Job didn't know all that. But I think about Job, I think, and yet he thought God was doing it, and he stayed faithful to God. I thought, man, that's worthy of double honor. We know, if you come to this church or churches like this, you know God's not your problem. So we ought to just be that much stronger than Job. We got a heads up. But what was the end that God had in mind for Job? Well, when you read it, Job 42:10, it says the Lord blessed him with twice as much. Hallelujah. God wanted him to have twice as much. When he went in that trial, God told him, if you just stay with me, boy, I'm going to bring you out and give you twice as much as you have. And he was already the richest man in all the East. Glory to God. I heard a guy, I don't know how he figured it out, but I trusted him. He said, now if you took what Job owned, he said it would be like if you took a 1,500 mile wide swath of land, a 1,500 mile swath of land, that's already big, and you take it all the way from, some of you may not know but the distance here, but if you took it all the way from Tulsa to Broken Arrow, that's how much land Job owned. Now, from Tulsa to Broken Arrow, I don't know. I've driven it a few times. I don't know. What, maybe 20 miles? So 20 by 100, 1,500 miles, that's a lot of property. I mean, and the Bible talked about all that he had. Remember all the turkeys he had. You didn't know he had turkey? You ever heard poor Job's turkeys? I don't know which one of our ancestors thought that one up, but the Bible doesn't say Job had turkeys, and if he did, they wouldn't be poor. Because he was the richest man in all the East. But God made him twice as much. So it was because of his faith and his endurance. So you may be going through something right now, but God's intent for you is to bring you out with twice as much. Amen. Now that's why you can have joy. Because you know I'm coming out on the other side with twice what I had. Amen. There's even scripture in Isaiah. God said, I'll give you double for your trouble. Amen. Huh? Amen. But if we're going to moan and be like Job's wife, curse God and die. Oh, brother, what a wife she was. The Bible didn't say she died, but we can only hope. We know this. She must have had the life insurance paid up. Yeah. And when you tell your spouse, oh, just curse God and die. Sound like to me she's working for the wrong side. But see what happened here. Let's don't be too hard on her. Those were her kids. Right? That was her house. That was her property. You see what I'm saying? Well, she responded differently than Job did. Job said, you sound like one of the foolish women. Shall we not receive good at the hand of God and evil at the same time? See, he thought it was God, but it wasn't. What I'm saying to you is Job stuck it out. He said, I don't care what happens to me. I'm sticking with God. We're coming out on the other side of this. And see, he didn't know, but what God had in mind was, I'm going to bring this boy out with twice as much. But what if he'd have been like his wife? What if he'd have given up? What if he hadn't had that endurance? What if he hadn't had that patience? What if he hadn't stuck with it? He wouldn't have come out with this. He wouldn't have come out with twice as much. God's got something good in mind for you. Amen. Let's go to one last scripture. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Go there. Did you get something today?
Amen.
Not a deep teaching, but boy, it's an exhortation we need to hear. I'll tell you that right now. I know I need to hear it. I always like one time, I don't know who it might have been, Dr. Barclay said he was with Dr. Summerall. And for those of you who don't know who Dr. Summerall is, he's in heaven now. He went home to be with the Lord in 96. But he was a great missionary and pastor in our state here. He was South Bend. And had been in probably just about every country of the world, had a great End Time Feed the Hungry program, the End Time Joseph program, where he fed people all over the world. We were in Honduras one time after Hurricane Mitch came through, killed 10,000 people in the country, just devastated the place. And we were at his pastor's church, and he was showing us his church and the different rooms of the church, and he opened up one room and I saw all that food in there from Dr. Summerall. And I thought, you know, you hear what he's doing, but I actually see it on the ground. Here it is. It's in his church in Honduras. And so, you know, he said, God told him, he said, I want you to feed starving Christians, you know. And he was in his 70s. And he said, Lord, he was in Jerusalem when the Lord told him. He said, go feed starving Christians. I want you to go feed starving Christians. And Dr. Summerall said, I argued with him and said, Lord, get one of these younger guys to do that. I'm an older guy. Get a younger guy to do it. He said, no, I finally got you where I can trust you. You know. And so he just went around, and I mean, you know, he preached all over the world. You know, we knew a man that traveled with him, was one of his directors. And he told me, he said, you know, he said, I went with Dr. Summerall. Dr. Summerall's like in his late 70s. And he said, I went on a trip with him to go preach. And he said, we'd preached, he had preached like in 10 different countries in like a few short days, you know. And he said, it was midnight, we were in the airport waiting on a plane. And he said, I was so tired. He said, I laid down on the bench there just to take a nap, you know. He said, when I laid down, he said, I looked over at the bench across from me, and he said, there was laying a 70-some, late 70-year-old man that had been everywhere I'd been, but he'd done the preaching and the work. And he thought, here I am, 35, and I'm wore out. He's in his 70s. See, there's something about, you know, when you hook up with God, He renews your strength. Hallelujah. I mean, you look at Brother Copeland. I mean, most people his age, they need help. Not making fun, but I mean, getting upstairs and stuff. I mean, he just runs around like he's 30. It's got something to do with hooking up with God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, all right, you find Corinthians 15, verse 57. Got it? This is it today. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Now listen to this. Therefore. You ever heard this? When you find a therefore, you find out why it's therefore? Why is this therefore? You haven't found out. Come on. No, you guys are all wrong. I'm going to have to take you back to Bible school. Why is the therefore, therefore? The therefore is therefore because God's give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, because He's given us the victory, therefore. Now, do you get it? See, that's why that therefore is therefore. You always find out what a therefore is therefore. So if it says therefore, you say, why are you there for? Here's why it's there. Because God gives us the victory, because of that, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What's he saying? Because God gives us the victory, we can just stick with it.
Amen.
Until it manifests.
Yes.
If you just stay with it, it's going to show up.
Right.
Yes. I don't know, could be tomorrow. I always like it fast. How about you? You know, I'm kind of a fast type of guy, you know. I like things to happen fast. But whether it happens tomorrow, the next day, 3 days, a week, 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, you stay with it.
Amen.
And it will manifest.
Amen.
Well, because God gave us the victory. It's already ours.
That's right. Amen.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, we just stick with it. Amen. Through thick and thin. Job stuck with it. Man, the victory manifested.
Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah. Twice as much. That's good stuff. Hallelujah. So what are we talking about this morning? Well, we're talking about just persevering. Just staying with it until victory manifests. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's fast and sometimes it's a little slow, but God knows how to get it to you. Hallelujah. Sometimes there's more opposition than there is other times. Sometimes the devil fight a little harder than other times. But he can't stop it. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's give the Lord thanks.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.